Welcome to the Our Stories podcast, where we explore the life experiences of healthcare providers as part of our wellness program with the Emory Department of Hematology and Medical Oncology. I'm Caroline Peacock, Manager of Spiritual Health for Winship Cancer Institute and Vice Chair of Wellness for the Department of Hematology and Medical Oncology. Today I have with me Dr. Ragini Kuchikar, who's associate professor in the department, and she's also chair of the Clinical and Translational Review Committee at Winship Cancer Institute. Dr. Kuchikar specializes in the treatment of metastatic melanoma, basal cell carcinoma, and other skin malignancies. Dr. Kuchikar, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So as you probably know, the purpose of this podcast is for people to hear stories of healthcare providers about their lives, about their deepest values, and about their wellness in general. So just to get us started, can you tell me a little bit about how you found yourself in the field of medicine?
I think it's a journey that started from childhood, and my father was a radiologist and in medicine, and in the Indian culture, it's strongly encouraged. And so I think I actually spent most of my life saying I didn't want to do medicine just
okay.
to be contradictory to my parents mm-hmm. and wanted to be an astronaut. And then I found out you had to be in the military and I didn't think I was up for that. Uh-huh. So I had to change gears. And I realized what I truly loved was people and uh-huh. I loved science, and it's a beautiful blend of both, mm-hmm. and you get to really be a part of people's lives and learn from them as much as hopefully you're teaching them as well. So I think it was really in college that I enjoyed that and really saw the bridge between patients and science and putting it all together.
So even when you started college, you weren't really thinking about medicine?
No, I wasn't sure okay. what I was going to do. You mm-hmm. know, it's like you have to figure out what you love and what you're good at too mm-hmm. and try to put those things together. Mm-hmm. So as much as I loved some other things, probably not so good at mm-hmm. things like becoming an astronaut or a lawyer or something like that. And I think a lot of that was me just trying to find my own way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually a neuroscience major in college and worked in Parkinson's disease huh. and in at the Yerkes Primate Center here at Emory.
Oh, wow. Because you were you went to undergrad right here at Emory. Is that right?
Yeah. I'm close to an Emory lifer. Not quite okay. there, but I did go to college, medical school, and residency
wow.
here before leaving for about 10 years before coming back.
So you really know this place.
I think I do, but every time I turn around, it changes.
Uh-huh. So you were studying neuroscience, which mm-hmm. From my perspective seems really different from being a melanoma doc. So how I'm curious, what got you into interest in the particular field you're in now?
So I think, though, in the beginning of my career, I really thought about neurology. And mm-hmm. I think the love for neuroscience was really that the science and the patient care are really linked.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is the actual care of oncology is the same. Like if you understand the biology of cancer, you can really impact patient care. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the connection.
Mm-hmm.
I actually worked with Dr. David Lawson as an intern here.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was my first exposure to
wow.
Skin cancers and medical oncology.
Wow.
So I think it was really those interactions with the patients with, you know, you get to be there in such an important part of their life
mm-hmm.
and help them through it. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I said, for myself, these are the people that teach me something and inspire
mm-hmm.
me every day. So that's where my kind of career shifted, and I liked oncology a lot more than neurology at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to fellowship, I think it was really having inspiring mentors.
Mm-hmm.
I say, you know, everyone looks like to a specific field, but sometimes it's just the people
yeah.
that inspire you and you want to you want to be like them. And at that time in melanoma, there weren't a lot of treatments for patients. And a lot of what we did was trying to find new and better. And I think that's what attracted me to the field and why I still do it today.
So it sounds like the science of it and also the leadership you were seeing, you know, in the department, the people who are inspiring you. Can you tell me a little bit about, if you could describe to me the qualities of those people who meant a lot to you as you were learning, what was it in them that that made you want to do what they were doing or made you want to be like them?
That's a great question. I think, you know, it's passion. It's just being enthusiastic about what you're doing. Like, it almost seems like not a job, right? You know, they have a passion for doing good for the world, for making every life better. And I think for me, I went to the University of Colorado for fellowship. It was Dr. Rene Gonzalez who really, he just had passion for all his patients, for doing more. And it was like, you know, you go to work and have fun every day instead of feeling like, oh, I got to get this done and I got to get that done and less checklist. And so for me, I think it's when people make it about passion and about what we're doing every day that can maybe make the world a little better later on. That kind of goal, instead of the goal is like, you got to get this publication or this out or that out. I think it's more, you know, that broad goal that he had and that he hopefully instilled in me that really made me connect with those people. Same for David Lawson, who's here, who continues to just, you know, be passionate about everything and care.
Well, it's so nice that you have those mentors and those models, you know, from your history and also right here in your present. And, you know, we're trying to get Dr. Lawson to come and do this interview also. So maybe when he hears you give an interview, he would be willing to come.
He would be amazing. He inspires all of us, I think, every day.
Well, it's such a wonderful thing to work in an environment where you feel like there are people that you can look up to and people you can learn from and people you can be inspired by. So I'm so glad that you have that. And what I also sense just in hearing you talk is that you have a lot of joy in your practice. And that's very inspiring to me because I know that you and the other physicians and APPs and nurses, all of these folks work under tremendous amount of pressure. So I'm curious about how you're able to keep that joy within you when you're working in a place where you're so busy and you have so many pressures on yourself.
I think it does take a conscious effort because it's very easy to get negative and frustrated. And you know, I think sometimes I have to actually say to myself, like, look at what these people are going through and how, I mean, every patient interaction, like, to remind yourself of what these people are going through and how they just, they're inspiring. And I think that, to me, reminds me of the joy of what I do and to take that inspiration from every single patient and family member that kind of comes through our door to every time I'm getting frustrated to actually consciously say something to myself. Like, wait a minute here, you know, this is an honor to be here and to do this and to be a part of people's lives and look at that inspiration around, whether it's patients, whether it's colleagues that you see that are going through many different things, but still put a smile on their face and say good morning and connect with those people around you. So for me, I think it's very, I have to be conscious about it. I'm not, I mean, I think some people naturally see all the positives around them. I don't think that's necessarily me. So when those negative thoughts come through or the frustration comes through, to actually consciously think, look at these people that I saw, look at these people around me and what they're doing. And that brings me joy and reminds me how lucky I am to get to do what I do.
It sounds to me like it's almost a process of intentionally slowing down in the midst of a lot of chaos and being like, you know, this person in front of me matters, and, you know, I want to provide them the best care and treat them with respect and dignity and all that good stuff.
Exactly. Exactly right. It's just you do have to take those moments, even if it's 10 seconds, to regroup yourself sometimes when you're mad at the computer or at the system of how we have to get things done or scheduling or whatever it is, to take the time to say 10 seconds to just say, wow. Yeah. If you just look around, there's a million examples of people doing extraordinary things that that you may have had a small part of.
Well, and I can imagine that for a patient, that means so much to them, you know, for you to be able to take the time and really listen to them. And I'm curious how you know you're doing a good job for a patient.
For me, it's kind of that personal connection. You know, I mean, unfortunately in our field, the conversations aren't always positive ones, meaning, you know, it's, I wish I could give good news every visit, but I can't. But what I say is, even when it's bad news, it can actually go well. It can feel therapeutic to connect in that way, to feel like you maybe made a bad situation a little less bad. And even when it's not good news, helping them accept that and helping them live their life the way they want to, even when it might not be as long as we want. And you can, it's just like a palpable feeling when you leave the room. And I'm amazed how people will look at me and they're going through all this and say things like, I'm sorry you have to do this. And that just is like, I can't, that means you've connected and that you've helped them somehow, and that kindness of people, even when they're going through the worst, is inspiring.
There can be, I think, sometimes a positive contagion of gratitude. You know, what I hear from you is that you carry yourself with some gratitude for the world and for the work that you're doing, and you're treating, you know, your patients with such respect. And I can hear how they're all offering that gratitude back to you, even in circumstances that might be really hard. And I think that, I mean, from my perspective, that just seems like medicine at its best, you know, when people can feel really cared for and supported.
Most definitely.
While they're going through such hard times. And I'm wondering a little bit about, because you are in a very hard field, in the field of oncology, how are you caring for yourself when you leave this place? What are the things that you're doing to tend to your spirit?
For me, it's exercise.
Okay.
I've always enjoyed exercise, and I find when I don't, the crazies get in and I have to let them out, whether I like spin classes and cycling. And I used to do a lot of running, and I kind of quit for a while, but my kid is now doing 5Ks. And so it's gotten me back into that. But exercise is something for me that really helps. And I can tell when I'm getting off track when I stop doing that. And I can see, like, my efficiency, everything kind of declines when I don't exercise. I'm a morning person, so in the morning, my efficiency through the day declines. And it took me a while to realize that is, like, if I don't do it, I'm actually worse off, even though I think, oh, I don't have time to do that. But actually, I need to take that time because I'll do better all throughout the day than if I didn't. I just actually realized that a couple of years ago that I actually am more efficient and more productive during my days when I take that time. Because I don't know what it is in my brain, but I need to release that and then I can kind of get off on with my day.
Well, I imagine you're like a lot of other people in that way, that when we take care of ourselves, we're just more effective human beings, you know, in the world. I definitely find that for myself as well. Sometimes the challenge is the motivation, you know, motivation to take the time to do the things we need to do that are, you know, good for ourselves.
Yeah. And it was in an interview like this that I did for ASCO where they asked me, what are your signs of efficiency? And that I actually realized that actually when I exercise, I am more efficient. Mm-hmm. And that has been very motivating to be much more consistent with it and to adjust my schedule accordingly or to call into a meeting instead of physically being there in order to get that time in. And that is actually worth it.
That's wonderful. Now, one of the things you also mentioned a minute ago is you're a parent as well.
I am.
So I'm curious how being a parent has impacted your perspective on your field or your practice of medicine.
So I have two little girls, one just turned 10 and one 7, and they certainly have changed my life. What I tell people is I think when I started in medicine, I could stay at work all day and all night. It didn't bother me. I loved being here. And I said at that time when you're 20-something, I didn't know I'd have another love that could be just as passionate. I just had no idea. Mm-hmm. I wasn't one of those people that always knew I wanted to have a family and have that part of my life. But I said it was really hard when they were young. I felt like I was kind of reeling a little bit that I wasn't spending enough time with them and not spending enough time at work and kind of torn. But I think having two girls, and I know that working, I feel like I'm teaching them something, mm-hmm. you know, that work ethic is very important mm-hmm. and compassion for others is important. And now that they're older and they can understand, I feel like even when I'm not there, it's showing them what in life is important. And mm-hmm. it's not, you know, that 1 hour of, you know, looking at the iPad or whatever it is they want to do, that right. the impact in life is what you leave to others and not exactly what you physically do every day. So it's made it a lot easier to have balance mm-hmm. and actually feel like even when I'm working and not physically there, that maybe they're learning something from that will help them become better people when they're hopefully grown up and out of the house.
Yeah, it sounds like you're modeling your personhood, you know, who you are, what you value, you're taking care of yourself. All of that is part of what's teaching them. And it reminds me of what you talked about at the beginning about how your mentors were models to you as mm-hmm. well in medicine. And I think there's something so beautiful about this this way that we learn from the people that we admire. And it sounds like your girls are able to learn from you.
I hope so. Hopefully they get all the good and none of the bad.
Do you think, can you imagine either of them going into medicine like you?
I don't know. My older one, probably not. I think she, at least at her age, she sees medicine as what takes mom away uh-huh. versus something to pursue. Uh-huh. My younger one, I don't know. She tells me she's either going to be a doctor or Taylor Swift.
Okay, so, well, one of the two. Right?
One of the two. My fingers are crossed for Taylor Swift.
Yeah, that would be exciting.
I told her I get 10% no matter what.
Right.
So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful for you coming and sharing a little bit about your life and about your work. I'm curious, is there anything else that you want to share before we wrap up our time together?
I think the one thing I want to share is something that a patient of mine told me that inspires me every day, and I'm not sure if I mentioned it before, but he said to me, I don't know what will happen to me. I know I want to leave the world a better place. And whatever I do here, that the world will live beyond me. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I've really taken with me and said, wow, you know, that's really, if we all lived like that, mm-hmm. the next generation has a lot to look forward to. So those are words I try to think about yeah. and try to model the best I can to leave the world a little better place for no matter what happens to any of us.
Well, I feel very blessed by hearing that. And I think that the people listening to this interview today may hear that and feel that way as well. So thank you so much for sharing. And I appreciate your time today.
Thank you for having me.